Good morning, girls and boys. Let's please turn to John chapter 19, and we're considering what we believe is the fifth saying of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And of course, these things are recorded by the Lord, for it's the Lord's hand that has written the Bible. He uses man the way you would use a pen, or at least in a similar fashion to the way you would use a pen. He has used man to record for us the great truths that he would have us understand and learn. And here in the verse 28 of John 19, we have the words after this. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. In saying that, when I taught you yesterday that in the Greek original text, where John would have written his epistle, or his gospel rather, he would have written it in Greek. And in his gospel, there's only one word there, which we have translated into the two words, I thirst. And in that exclamation by the Lord Jesus, we are reminded of the sufferings he was enduring, the stress he was under. He was thirsting as a result of the physical stress he was under, what he had gone through. Remember, he had been beaten savagely before he ever came to Calvary. Then he was made to carry the cross for a while he was physically able. And now he's nailed to the cross, and we can't even begin to imagine the agonies that that would have caused, all of which would have caused his body to long for water. And here he gives expression to that burden and that distress that he was passing through. Today, we want to think for a moment or two on men's reaction to his cry, I thirst. Somebody in school said that, I'm thirsty. Immediately, either a teacher or maybe a senior pupil would go and get a drink for that person. They would be anxious to help them, to relieve the thirst that they are experiencing. But let me tell you, you will never be as thirsty as was the Lord upon the cross. His body, in agony, was crying out for refreshment, for a drink. Now, we read in the next verse the response that followed this cry. Let me read to you verse 29. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. That was the response. And it's important that we take note of this, because, boys and girls, we see another example of the cruelty of men at the cross. The cruelty of men. When we are in a meeting and the cross is presented to us, the minister preaches upon it and seeks to bring it before our minds. What is our reaction? What is our reaction? How do we react to the record given us in the Bible of the Savior's sufferings? Are we indifferent? It has no impact upon us. Is that the way? Our minds are wandering here and there. Can you imagine someone at the cross seeing the Savior die, and then letting their mind and their eyes wander somewhere else to see some other little thing that's taking place? Can you imagine that? You would think that your eye would be focused on the Savior and your mind would be focused on what he was enduring. And yet, so often, when the cross is preached, the minds of those who are listening stray and wander and are occupied by any other matter that just takes their fancy. It can happen here this morning. May we not have the spirit of those that are spoken of in that verse 29. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. I'm suggesting to you that those words speak to us of the cruelty of men. Now, I must tell you that this is the second drink that has been offered to the Lord Jesus. When he was first nailed to the cross, he was offered a drink. If you turn to Matthew, the chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, the verse 34. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. That was a different drink than is here offered to him in our text. As I say, the drink referred to in Matthew, that was at the beginning of the Savior's sufferings. And vinegar mingled with gall was a concoction made up to give to those who were crucified as a means of easing their suffering. Now, if you go to the dentist, getting a tooth out or getting a filling put in can be very painful. But the dentist will do something that will take away the pain completely so that you won't feel anything. He can inject you or they can give you a gas that puts you nicely asleep and you don't feel anything. An anesthetic, they call it. Well, this vinegar mingled with gall was, as best as men could back then, produce the same pain-dulling effect, not nearly to the same degree as the dentist's injection, but it had a little impact in reducing the pain of the one crucified. And what do we read in Matthew 27? When they offered that drink of vinegar and gall, the Lord Jesus refused it. He refused it. Why? Well, it says he tasted, and as soon as he tasted, he knew what it was. And the Lord Jesus refused it because he was there to suffer. He didn't want in any way to have the pain that the crucifixion would bring him removed. He was there to suffer for us, for those who he had come to save. He was there to suffer. And he refused that drink. But here in this passage, we read that he did drink it. It says, verse 30, the next verse, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he did drink. He did drink. It's important for us to notice that. But it's the manner in which he was offered this refreshment that has to be noticed. I think that in the verse 29, when it says, they filled a sponge, you're talking about the soldiers. They would have been the only ones allowed right up close to the cross. They would have kept back any watchers or any Jews or sympathizers with the Savior in case they would try to take him off the cross. So it was soldiers who responded to the cry. But those soldiers indicate to us the cruel heart of man. These are the men who had beaten the Savior, mocked the Savior, nailed the Savior to the cross. And that same bitterness is that was displayed in all those actions is still on display here, because, and I want you to notice this, they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. Just a stick, a rod. And they had a sponge. They soaked it up. And a sponge, of course, can contain a certain amount of liquid. And they stuck it on the end of a stick and they reached it up. They didn't get a cup and fill it and reach it up and hold it to his mouth that he might drink more easily. No, they just reached up a piece of sponge on a stick. That shows the indifference to the sufferings of the Saviour, shows the hard and cruel heart of those men there at the cross. Mankind has always had that attitude toward the Lord Jesus. Every day, his name is taken in vain. Men use it as a curse when they want to express their anger, when they want to express shock, when they want to express themselves in a fashion that will grab the attention of others. They take the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. That's what they think of him. That's all the value they place upon him. His name is just a name to be used as a curse. Listen, boys and girls, when you're older and you go out to work, you'll encounter people who use the name of the Lord in vain. And I would ask you to say to them that they're doing wrong. It should be an offence to you to hear them speak so of the Lord Jesus. And you should be driven to speak out for him and rebuke those who so take his name in vain. But men have always had this attitude toward God and toward his people. Toward his people. We read in Luke chapter 11 and the verse 50, these words, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. And the important words I want you to notice is the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world. From the very beginning, there has been this hatred toward God and toward his people. And especially those who would speak up for him and present his message, the prophets. Well, that cruelty, that hatred, that despising is seen here in the response of these men to the Saviour's pitiful cry, "I thirst." You'd think that would have caused men to show a little kindness, but they didn't. They didn't. Yesterday we mentioned how that the Saviour, in all matters, from the moment he was born, right through his life, his death, his resurrection, was fulfilling the Scriptures. And here, in what he says, he is fulfilling the Scriptures. It was prophesied that he would say, "I thirst," and that he would experience this response from men. And I'm referring to the words of David in Psalm 69 and the verse 21. Listen to what it said. David then was complaining of his treatment, and the treatment he was receiving was but a picture of the treatment the Lord Jesus would receive. And David said this, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And saying that, he was highlighting, this is the treatment I have received at men. Unkind, cruel, because of who I am and what I am. I'm a child of God. And the sufferings of David expressed in these words in Psalm 69 were but a picture of what the Savior would experience. Indeed, all that the people of God throughout the ages experienced at the cruel hands of men reached its fullness in the treatment of the Lord Jesus by cruel men. Not all of the Christians suffered the same cruel treatment. One was treated one way, one was treated another. Some were put to death as martyrs, burning, put to death by the sword, all sorts of things. But not every Christian suffered the same. But all of the sufferings were heaped, all of the cruelties were heaped upon the Lord Jesus. He endured the fullness of man's cruelty. Then again, this cry by the Lord Jesus reminds us of the dreadful reality of his suffering. He really did suffer. He really did suffer. Yesterday I mentioned this, how that men, when they work hard, they get thirsty. Your body uses up moisture as it works. Sometimes you see it as sweat forms on the brow, and also within you there is a using up of moisture. And as you work and you put forth your strength and you're straining to carry out the work, your body needs water, needs a drink. And the fact that the Savior was thirsting indicates the stress and the strain that he was under, the putting forth of his strength there on the cross as he bore the burden of our sins. Oh, what suffering the Savior endured. I'm thinking of what we read in Luke chapter 16. There we are presented with a scene where a sinner is lost in hell. Luke chapter 16. And we read of the rich man dying and going to hell. Oh, it's very real, boys and girls. The world laughs, uses the word hell as a curse word, but it's a real place. And people really go there who reject Christ. And this rich man died and he went to hell. And we read in verse 23, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That's the first thing. And seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. That was part of the torment. In hell he could see the joy and the peace that the one who believed in the Lord Jesus was enjoying while he was in torments. That aggravates, multiplies suffering. It says then in the verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Here's one suffering the torments of the damned. And what does he ask for? A drop of water. If you dip your finger in water, there's not much on it, sure is not. But the rich man suffering hell fire would have been glad just for that wee drop to be placed on his tongue. The Savior was thirsting because he was suffering hell fire for us. That's what he was doing on the cross. We have many hymns that deal with the matter. He took my sins and my sorrows and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and he suffered and died alone. The Lord Jesus at Calvary was enduring hell fire for us. The hell fire which we deserve. He suffered for us, that we might never experience hell fire. And as the rich man thirsted till the Lord Jesus thirsted as a result of what he was suffering. Oh, boys and girls, what the Lord Jesus went through at the cross was very, very real. And his thirst highlights that fact. One other thought. There was another thirst at work within the Savior, of which men see nothing and know nothing. And I'm referring to that thirst that he had to save his people. He spoke of this in John chapter 4 and the verses 32 and 34. He speaks to his disciples and he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So, the burden of the Lord Jesus to fulfill his Father's will and do that which was required to save his people is likened unto hunger. He had a hunger to carry out this work. And I think we can say he had a thirst to carry out this work. He was burdened to die for sinners. That's why he was there. That's why he was there. There was a longing within his soul to die for us. Oh, think on that. Never, never forget that every step the Savior took during his 3 years of ministry that took him nearer and nearer to Jerusalem and nearer to the cross, each of those steps was driven by his desire to see you saved and to pay the price of your redemption. Boys and girls, we're going to leave it there, and I trust that God will bless his word to your hearts. Let's bow together, please, now in prayer and conclude our assembly. Dear Lord, we can but humbly thank thee, and yet very conscious that our thanks fall far short of what they ought to be. We know so little, Lord Jesus, of what it was you went through. We see something of it here, set forth in the thirst that you endured. But Lord Jesus, one day we will know more fully what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to take away our sin. Grant your blessing on the school today. Aye, and upon the proceedings up there in Martyrs at the funeral service, may your name be magnified. Hear this, our prayer. Bless us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.